listening to Radio Pulpit. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful day as we welcome our guest, Loza Horo, who is a South African creative, a podcast host and digital designer with a background in interaction design and media. And her work spans visual storytelling, branding, and conversation-driven media alongside commitment to the ministry in which she serves. So I look forward to unpacking some of what's behind this incredible, impactful testimony and ministry that we see. Loza, good day, and welcome to Elevated.
Good day. Hello, hello, listeners, and hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Listen, I'm very keen to find out a little bit more about who you are before you got into the creative space. So let's maybe take a step back and tell listeners about little Loza, the little version of you, where you grew up, and just a bit of your background.
Oh, wow. So I'm what our generation calls a Joburg, which means I'm a Joburg girl. So through and through, born here, bred here in Joburg, raised in the earlier days in Norcombe Park, and then for most of my days on the other side of Joburg. And that little girl, she is a firstborn, first of all, and she was... And is, you know, she was always just like a little star, always full of joy. You know, my mom always reflects back and says, oh, you were just like such a great child, you know, always happy, always bubbly, always ate your vegetables, right? So all positive stuff to say. And I think I'd always been a big dreamer. Maybe that was a huge influence from Disney Channel. So yes, and raised in a Christian family. So those foundations, those values of getting up and going to church, you know, being in Sunday school, always been there. So it, who I am started in those days, and what I've become, I credit a lot to that early upbringing of love and of Christ.
And that love of Christ is visible through you, your ministry, what you do, Loza. Where would you say, besides growing up in a Christian household, going to Sunday school, when you reflect back, when was your personal encounter with Jesus Christ? Do you remember that? When you really realize, hey, this is not just religion. This is not just something my parents are making me do, but I'm now understanding God for myself.
Yeah. I tell you, when I started attending a youth fellowship, I think things like that, when you are a 16, 15-year-old, start out very much like, okay, this is where my other friends are going, you know, Christian friends, like, great. But then you begin to become exposed to things like worship. You become exposed to things like the word. You become convicted. And it becomes more than just, oh, this is what my parents are doing. Because at that point, I was going to a youth fellowship without my mom. So she was in the church, but I was going to a different youth fellowship. And I think things like that already solidify that this walk is about me and Christ. Because on Saturday mornings, I'm saying, okay, bye, mom, right? Like the transport is outside. And so you're taking ownership of that walk with God. So I would say at that point where... Really, I was like, I'm choosing this God for myself. I'm falling in love with being in the place of worship. I'm falling in love with hearing this word. I'm falling in love with our youth pastor telling us the truth, even though it's hard to hear. And then also inviting others. So it really was from that place.
And if you were to describe throughout your journey with God, who he is to you, some of the personal encounters, moments where you've really seen the hand of God, Loza, well, how would you describe that?
Sure. I think it would start with experiencing God's mercy. You know, I think, and maybe a lot of Christians who grew up in the church will relate to this, and maybe especially PKs, is that you're always sort of in the church space, and there's like, you're exposed to God, and then you have your little dip where you're kind of either one foot in the church and one foot out. You're there, you're there physically, but maybe your heart is elsewhere. And I think when I was then getting out of that phase, which was much later, like early 20s, where I realized the mercy of God, like how you pulled me out of that when here's a person who's been taught your ways, who's loved you all her life, you know, in quotation marks, or the love that I understood then. And I decided to go into the world because I'm like, what is there? What is this that's happening, Atia? But in your mercy, you pull me back. In your mercy, you show me love. In your mercy, you actually reveal the heart that was driving me there. What was wrong? Oh, I wanted attention. Oh, I was, you know, there was something I was looking for. But then realizing the Holy Spirit is the one who fills those voids. The Holy Spirit's the one who ministers healing in the areas that are broken that you look for in those spaces. So I think it was discovering that, like, wow, Lord, you're a sure companion through and through. Just like David said, that even if I were to make my bed in hell, still you're there. So I think when the word comes alive in reality, like, whoa, you were being right, you're being honest. This is true. You're so faithful in your word, and I'm seeing it in my life. It was those experiences that, yeah, that really, I mean, I won't be able to name them all on this in this one moment, but I would think it really started off with the mercy and realizing the true love of God and how His word is for me too. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love how you touched on his mercy, or how you started there, because God's mercy, his love, his forgiveness, his ability to forgive and just welcome you back, embrace you back. And it's like you not only right where you left off, but you go deeper. It takes you even deeper. It's so amazing. And sometimes I think we as people struggle to forgive as Christ forgave. Like, we struggle to embrace people again. Do you see any of that, where perhaps after people have fallen, we struggle to embrace them, to forgive them, to pick them back up again?
100%. You know, I think there was actually a point in my life where I had to forgive, and I pause and I'm like, sure, Lord, I mean, I've learned about forgiveness, I've heard forgiveness, but I don't think I know how to forgive until the situation brings itself up that you actually must forgive. And then we debate the word of God, right? Because I debate, I'm like, oh, surely I don't have to, Lord. You know, surely, oh, come on, surely you understand, you see where I was coming from. And in the Holy Spirit gives me, it doesn't allow me to rest until I pursue it, until I learn about it. And I think God is, like we said, so merciful in that He understands that, okay, forgiveness, yes, is expected of us, but it's a journey as well. So having the comfort of the Holy Spirit to say, we're learning, we're working through this, and consuming the word. So one thing I do a lot, and maybe that can help others, is that when I realize that there's something I need to work on, like forgiveness, something I need to apply, I go and I study that topic. I go into the word, you know, I listen to sermons of the people God has said, you know, these are people to listen to as you grow. I go and submerge myself in the word. I submit myself to it because I know that, okay, Loza on her own doesn't want to do this. So let me give myself over to the word. And then, yes, out of that, I realize, okay, in the flesh, I would not ordinarily do this, but I thank you, Lord, that through the help of your word and your Holy Spirit, I'm able to. And then, yes, I end up forgiving. But I think these are ongoing things that we learn. Like, then there's another level of forgiving. There's another level of forgiving. So, yeah.
You know, you spoke about how you're a Joburg girl through and through. And those of us who know Johannesburg know that there's a lot of potential pitfalls for young people in the city of Johannesburg, especially for young girls. You know the stories, and you hear the stories around, for instance, UJ, and how some young girls in that area, you were mentioning Auckland Park, how, you know, they fall prey to people, men trying to take advantage of them at a young age. You find young girls coming to Joburg, their first time in a big city, so many pitfalls. As a Joburg girl yourself, what do you think about that? What's your advice to young people, especially young Christians, moving to the city of Joburg and perhaps exposed to some of these temptations and pitfalls for the first time?
Sure. It's amazing you mentioned that. I actually have an episode coming out where I speak to two other influential ladies, and we speak about the realities of being a young woman discovering herself and living, in this world that has so much expectation of us. Or there's just a lot going on, and it's coming out at the end of June. But in this conversation, we touched on how, one of the biggest things that you need to have solid when you're in this world is identity, because even the greatest can fall if you are not constantly led by the spirit. And when I say that, I mean that if your identity is able to be shaken. And in those situations, look, we're going to meet a lot of situations like power dynamics that are unbalanced. Where some people may come from less privileged families, and somebody comes and offers, a better life. There may be situations where there's somebody who presents to you something that is totally contrary to what you've been taught. And so the advice is to continually surround yourself with the word that's going to speak to your identity. Who am I? Wow. I am a princess of God. He's the king, so I'm a princess. I need to view myself as such. How does a princess carry herself? There are certain things that a princess won't do. There's certain things that a princess learns. I don't surround myself with this. And another important thing is to stand firm on your values. Now, that's another thing we spoke about, that when you do that, people will not always be in agreement just because it's the right thing. And in fact, you may become isolated or pushed away. You might become, ostracized because of the decision you make, or because you spoke up about something that was wrong. But this is why the Bible says that we suffer with Christ, right? And that suffering speaks of persecution. So, oh wow, when people ostracize me for this decision that I've made that's in line with my values, I'm suffering with Christ. It's just a form of persecution. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to suffer in this persecution with you, in being this suffering with you. So maybe turning the narrative from, oh wow, I'm ostracized, now I'm pushed away, now I'm lonely, I'm isolated from my decisions, to turning it to, I am with Christ in this. If Christ did say that, we can expect persecution in the world. So having a different perspective to say, I'm a child of God, so it's probably expected that as I stand firm on my beliefs, there are going to be people that are against it. But I'm with this in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit backing me. God is proud of me, cheering me on as I continue to pursue this prize, this mark, and I chase what God has called me to do. So maybe the narrative needs to be more of a narrative of love towards yourself. This is beautiful. This experience is good. That's why it says count it all joy. So maybe I need to say this. I'm joyful in making this tough decision, because at the end there's a better version of me. There's a version of me who's stronger. So identity and having the right narrative about the challenges that you face and the times where you have to say no to those trials or those temptations in this big Joburg.
In this big Joburg and in this big world, because God has called us to the nations, right? So we'll be traveling, and knowing who we are is key, as you said, our identity to anchor us as we navigate our callings. You know, Loza, a lot of people, older generation, when we speak to them, they are very concerned about the younger generation. When they look at the direction that the world is moving into, they look at the direction and the development of tech, and we'll talk about that in detail in a moment. But they're concerned about the next generation. They're worried about their salvation. They're worried about their emotional safety and state. Because I speak to so many young people who are on fire for Christ like yourself, I'm less concerned, because I can see that there's a generation who's in love with God, in love with the Word, in love with the Holy Spirit, that will make sure that God, His Word, His teachings, that it continues. I'm less worried about the next generation. How do you feel, though, when it comes to that?
It's interesting, but something I've realized is that there's nothing new under the sun. So the enemy is not very creative. He just recycles his tactics. And sometimes there'll be a certain stronghold over generations. So maybe I don't know much about maybe the last generation, but I'd say this one, maybe one of the big things is emotional and mental attacks, where we see a lot more suicides. Whereas then maybe for things like, oh, I'm overworked, I don't want to be in this position. I'm the what do we call it? Tenacity maybe is a little bit less, but I, and that's the reason why there are still believers in this generation. That's why there are still people who are on fire, because God will always raise a people. He'll always raise a peculiar people, even in that generation, who will rise up to those challenges. So if there's a spirit of emotional heavy weights and mental issues, then the Lord will raise up a people who are able to combat that in his authority and in his power. So God will never raise a generation that's underprepared for what the enemy has. He will always have us be equal to the task and even greater because of Christ. So I think then in that way, I put away fear and I just ask myself, let me do what I have to do rather than worrying about what is. Let me do what I'm called to do, because the Lord will never allow me to be born in a generation where I can't handle the generation. And therefore, my other brothers and sisters who are on fire, we can be up to that challenge. There'll never be something that's bigger than what's on the inside of us going on in the world. So then that takes away the fear or the worry a little bit, because it's like the enemy's just going to do what he's going to do. You know, he's
Amen.
always going to try and affect. He's going to try and, but this happened years ago. Like, there's a lot that we are seeing, even with Pride Land. I don't know if you've noticed coming up, you know, that takes us back to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So, oh wow, Satan's just repeating the same cycles over and over. And we just have to apply the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, because in the same way that if they had known who Jesus was when they crucified him, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In the same way, that's because Jesus had a wisdom deeper than the devil. So when we can arise and say, I have the God who has deeper wisdom than the enemy, I'm already above him. So our work is just to then act on that. And mothers and, you know, fathers of the previous generations, prayer is so huge. The amount of things you can do and change in the spirit is much greater than we realize. If we can be just people of prayer, your prayers go ahead of you where your feet can't go. So how about sending out those prayers? If we're concerned about you, Jay, take a week out, fast on one of those days, and make some declarations of what you want to see. There's so much power, and I believe the world is waiting for believers to do something. Sometimes we'll wait on the government, or you know, and even the Bible says the government is on his shoulders. So it's on us. So if we do something about it, we will see a change. We will see people coming back. And there's still positive stuff we're seeing in this generation, despite all the crazy stuff. So yeah, that's my perspective. We're above, we're above, we're above always.
Absolutely. We're still seeing amazing work being done. In fact, great work, greater than we've ever seen before, being done. And you are part of that. So, Loza, once again, thank you so much for your time. I now want to get into your career. You are in the creative space. When did you know that this is your calling, that this is part of your calling? And what drew you to this industry?
Oh wow. I think sometimes things just happen as you live, trust, and grow in God. So I can't really point to something. But in I've always been sort of drawn to the creative things in school, whether that was, you know, singing. I was really good at the more artistic side of things. Those were my strongest subjects, for example. So I also had extracurricular activities that were very art-like, creative, you know, be it ballet, be it music, you know. So I think in that sense, it's always been the case that that creativity, but it grew with time. It grew over the years.
And for those who perhaps don't know, you're a digital designer with a background in interaction design and media. What is that for those who are not familiar with it?
So my qualification is in interaction design, which basically speaks to the design of digital interfaces. So the design of the relationship between people and technology. So we bridge that gap, whether that looks like a website, whether that looks like an app, whether that looks like, a screen, any screen that you have to interact with. So we build around that. So we build for that relationship with technology. That is the essence of it.
And why is it so important that we as Kingdom ambassadors are also involved in this industry? Not only involved, but that we lead this industry, because this is not just the future. We used to say it's the future. It's not the future, it's the now. Why should we be there?
So that's so good. Decisions are being made within industries, and if we don't take our place, we are allowing decisions to be made on our behalf or on behalf of our generation. There are decisions around things like AI, and the ethics of that. There are, rooms where decisions are being made about a generation, how people's data is affected. The conversations around what's being put out there, what do we block, for children's experiences with the internet. And so when we take our place in those rooms or even build our own tables, we are part of making those decisions in that space. And you become, I want to use this word, a principality in that space because you take hold of that space. And when you pray, you're praying from a position of authority or that you've been given a right in that space, which is so powerful because it's territory based. So as I'm in the tech territory, I can pray, I can intercede, I can declare certain things. This is the space that God has given me. And so I'm a steward of it. I'm a steward of it, whether my position is small in my eyes, because nothing is small in the eyes of God, or really big, like I sit in a place that makes decisions for the world. It matters. My position matters. My values, the fact that I hold values and I advocate for the values of Christ, for the family, model of God. I advocate for the minds of people and what we're exposed to. I advocate for what is put out there, whatever position that may be, the industry. You understand that you become an advocate, or in other words, an ambassador of Christ. So it is very important that we're in those positions to bring forth the kingdom. And that I hope I've answered your question.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've answered it beautifully. And it leads me to my next question. You're also the founder of a creative studio. So it's once again attached to what we just spoke about, the importance of not only being in industries like the tech industry, but having ownership and having influence. Tell us about your studio. Perhaps there's some Christian businesses listening today that can really make use of what you offer.
Yes, beautiful. So this it's called Cool and Co. And this is developed when I realized that the Lord is calling me to be a founder, of a business. So it's a creative studio. So we handle all things from web design to your app design to designing of systems. So you want to put a system in place. How can that system be best implemented? From the energy sector to, we've had so many conversations and many clients, as well as I do another thing that I really love, wedding website invites. And I especially enjoy this because when a couple comes for me to get their wedding invite done, I pray over them, not even in their knowledge necessarily, but I understand the attack on family and marriages. So I get an opportunity to pray over that marriage. So yes, Cool and Co does all of that and more, as well as branding and graphic design is a part of it. So yes, for people, who are looking for websites, for people who are looking for a strategic partner in developing or implementing new strategies or improving their current systems within their business, whether that be the product development or an already running system, through to the branding of that, we are handling all of that good stuff.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'm in awe of how God is using you. Thank you so much for sharing just a bit of your heart and your vision so that we could understand you a bit better today and really just be encouraged by the amazing things that God is doing in your life. How do you bring all of this together, though? You podcasting, you've got your studio, you're a digital designer, then you're a speaker as well. There's so much that you're doing. What is the thread you believe that brings all of this together?
Sure. I believe you must first honor the call on your life. Things flow well when you are honoring the call on your life, and part of that, or big part for me, is to honor where I am serving in ministry. Because what I'm doing there is I'm putting first the kingdom of God, and then if everything else flows from there. God aligns things. The lines fall for me in pleasant places, as the Bible says. And so I would say that first structure, that first core of this is where I'm committed. This is where I'm giving myself over to the Lord. The Lord just multiplies you and gives you grace, because grace is the empowerment to do beyond your own ability. So there are so many things that I'm passionate and I want to do, and I can't run them and govern them all if I'm not first yielded to the Holy Spirit, if I'm not serving, if I'm not doing what God has called me to do. So if, from that place of submission, everything else flows ever so gracefully. And whether the Lord adds more to my plate, I believe that I'm going to be able to handle even that, because I don't do it in my own strength.
Amen, amen. I think I want to land our conversation with your podcast. I was looking at it on YouTube, and it's an incredible thing that you're doing there, Loza. Talk to me
Thank
about
you.
starting the podcast. Sometimes there's the fear, am I going to do it well enough? Do I have the right equipment? But once you've received a call from God or an instruction from God to do something, you have to be obedient. What was that process like for you starting the podcast, putting it out there?
Being a, I'm going to say, a retired perfectionist. It really was exactly as you're saying. Do I have this? Do I, is it going to be sufficient? And I, as you know, in line with that, I initially did have a first episode and it was great and there were a few errors and I was just like, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm leaving it. And 6 months later, the Holy Spirit prompts me and he says, okay, but I told you to do this, so you must go back to it. And he would send inspiration, and I then decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey. I'm going to use what I have. And in that obedience, did the Lord not bring me people who want to help me? Because on the first day, I had a few friends who I asked, please just help me at least with like the camera set up and just watch it for me for this first time so I can learn. After that episode, they said, we want to stand behind you. We want to do this with you. We want to support you. And so I had people backing me up and doing that. And in that obedience, I got a studio. And in that obedience, you get to meet people. So it was, I realize now looking back, you must take that first step of obedience, because the perfectionist, or maybe you're not a perfectionist, but the fear will tell you, don't do it. You don't have this. You don't have enough. You don't have the resources. But the greatest capital is the Holy Spirit in us. So that's then the mindset that you have to have going into it, that it may not be perfect in the sight of man, but it's good in the sight of the Lord. So then that's enough. That's enough to start. That's enough to get it going. And now, yeah, we are, I think, about 10 episodes in, and there are still errors. There are still things that I'm like, I really wish we could improve on this, but I don't put pressure on myself. I just say, thank you, Lord. This is your baby and you're in control. So that journey, it's beautiful. It's, you want to be scared, and then you need to lean on God. So,
I love it. Well, I pray that somebody who perhaps have been wrestling with an idea, a godly inspired idea of starting something, but fearing that they don't have everything that they need. I pray that by hearing your testimony today, Lord, that they too will be encouraged to just be obedient and start. Thank you so much for your time here on Elevator today. If people want to listen to your or watch your vodcast, if they want to know more about you, reach you or your business, how do they do that?
Beautiful. Thank you so much. So, for the vodcast, as you beautifully put it, you can find that on YouTube, Kavod Amplified. So, that is KAVOD, and then the word amplified. You can just search that up on YouTube. And then also to message me or reach out to me regarding the business, you can reach out to me at KUL. So, Cool and Co. At, no, loza@coolandco.com. So, that's LHOZA. At KULANDCO.com. All right, so loza@coolandco.com, that's via email. And then you can also check me out on Instagram, that is Loza Official. Yes, those are the handles that people can use to reach out and connect with what God is doing.
I
Thank you
love
so
that.
much for having me. I'm so honored.
You are most welcome, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon and seeing how God continues to grow the amazing work that He's doing in you. Keep walking in faith, keep walking in purpose. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.